Welcome to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Each and every show, we go inside the Beltway and New York with the true insiders, Luke Vargas. It's fun to have him on last time. He covers the UN for Talk Radio News. But you said to me just before we jumped on the air, Luke, you've been following this Rand Paul filibuster thing like everybody else. And this, of course, is over drones and drone use, as you know, in Iraq, Afghanistan, especially Afghanistan, and some of the controversy over that, the collateral damage, and then Americans who were tied to terrorism, big ones like Anwar al-Awlaki, the controversy that's kicked up over the assassination, basically, of Americans, even with terrorist ties. So what do you make of Rand Paul's filibuster, even though that's domestically that he's talking about?
Well, sure. I think people were very quick to jump on this and say he's doing this solely for his own personal reputation, trying to make himself a rising star in advance of some sort of presidential bid. But then looking at the number of people and the groups that are hopping on board with his actions here, we've got the ACLU, we've got Amnesty International, of course we've got Republicans like Senators Rubio, Lee, and Cruz, but then we've got Democrat Ron Wyden from Oregon also hopping on to help him filibuster. So this is an issue that I think deserves to be considered a bipartisan issue. Maybe for worse, because for all those people who are opposed to drones, we've got a Republican leading the way in Rand Paul, but that shouldn't take away from the fact that there are people on both sides of the aisle that are very opposed to what the president is doing here.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's just switch gears and talk about stuff that you cover at the UN. Syria. It's been over 2 years through the Assad regime. No arms supposedly yet from the U.S. to the rebels. What's happening here as far as the UN's front's concerned?
Well, we had some troubling news reported by the UN today that 21 of their peacekeepers had been kidnapped by Syrian rebels while doing a supply run today. Now, the international community has been slow to come around to help the rebels knock off Bashar al-Assad, but yet they are the side that we seem to align our interests more with. So this is a troubling development that these folks in this one region near the Israeli border, they said that the United Nations has been very unhelpful in trying to deal with civilian issues, and they alleged that the United Nations is helping Bashar al-Assad's regime. So that's the reason they kidnapped this convoy, and they said if the United Nations doesn't move out of the area within 48 hours, they are prepared to deal with these individuals as prisoners of war, which I would presume, and no one really knows, means they're going to take them deeper inside Syria to some unknown detention facility. So this is a troubling development for a country where recent indicators say there are a million refugees. This situation just doesn't get any better day by day.
Yeah, I was just going to say, talk about spiraling out of control and chaos. Boy, we have our fingers crossed, certainly, for those peacekeepers. North Korea, this is big. They're threatening to end armistice. That's scary. So what is this for real, or is this, you know, Kim Jong-un just feeling his power? I don't know. This has been buried in a lot of news organizations, but I think this story couldn't be bigger.
I mean, it is interesting that no one's talking about it, and it may be that people who are far more well-versed in this standoff than I am know that a threat to end the armistice with South Korea is not something they're really prepared to do here. But they're doing it over nuclear sanctions that I don't think are really all that strong. There's likely to be a vote at the United Nations tomorrow on a new round of sanctions. The only real sort of things that are tough in these sanctions are new bans on cash transfers and luxury items that the executives, the big leaders of North Korea can possess. But there's nothing in this. There was some talk over the past month that we try to block North Korea from buying arms, from importing small arms from other countries. This is a country that has, for a rogue nation, the third most arms of any country on the planet behind the United States and China. So they have got these massive stockpiles of weapons. And a lot of people were saying a logical thing to put in these sanctions would be a ban on acquiring more guns. But that's not something that the United States or China, who drafted these sanctions, looks like they were willing to do. And I don't see these sanctions being too strong, but yet North Korea is playing hardball, maybe after hanging out with Dennis Rodman, and they're willing to threaten ending the armistice.
Yeah. All right, speaking of playing hardball or teasing us and sanctions that have worked and sanctions that haven't worked, Iran's UN envoy saying that, yeah, we want talks. We welcome those direct talks with the U.S. What do you make is this Is this more bluster, or is there any teeth to this?
It's really hard to tell what you're dealing with Iran. We've got the U.S. ambassador walking out of those meetings today, after Iran's representative accused Washington, of being an ally in Israel's genocide. So there's politics flying on all sides of this. But just a little window into Iran, and this is something we'll definitely get around to talking about in the next few months. But they've got presidential elections this year, and I was looking at some of the requisites for running for office in that country, and they are some of the craziest things on earth. You have to have 400 letters of recommendations from fellow ministers. You've got to get 20 professors from around the country to sign on to your campaign. So this is a totally wacky country, and I'm not surprised that negotiations with them have turned into such a difficulty.
Yeah, crazy. Luke Vargas, TRN, thanks, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again.
Good to talk to you. Take care.
Bye-bye. You too. All right, you heard me talk with Luke a little bit there about how interesting the filibuster is that's going on with Rand Paul, and now it's into its 11th hour and counting. This is an old-fashioned one-man filibuster to demand answers, if you will, from President Obama on, you guessed it, the problem with the drone question that was asked of Eric Holder ultimately, or trickled down to what John Brennan's answer was, and it's gotten very, very interesting. C-SPAN probably going to have a pretty good night ratings-wise if they care about such things, and we all know what filibuster is. It's any kind of an action, a prolonged speech that stops the legislative assembly, but not technically doing anything that would require the action to come back, in other words. So you obstruct the legislature by speaking at an inordinate length, and that's exactly what Rand Paul is doing now, blocking the Brennan nomination for CIA chief John Brennan, who has been being questioned again and again and again. So the Kentucky Republican on the floor for hours stopping the nomination. This is the guy that the president tapped to be the CIA director. He said he would only relent if the administration vowed not to target Americans on U.S. soil. So it is a very drawn-out day, to say the least, because I mentioned this already, 11 hours and counting. But he's saying he's not going to give up. So, you look at the administration only recently even acknowledging in any way the drone program and saying that they're, we're looking for some public debate to find some ground on what we're willing to accept or what Americans are willing to accept. We're going to take you live to the floor to hear Rand Paul coming up on the flip side of America Tonight. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free. A 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply. Be in control. Be self-sufficient and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
Crossing the stage, I know you can feel the excitement. Shake it up, turn it on, shake it up. Yeah, 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 yeah. Your daddy don't know what your mama does.
Grand Paul right now, still dominating, blocking John Brennan's nomination, the president's man, to be the CIA director. Boy, he did it alone, lone wolf, for the first few hours. Now some people are starting to help out Rand Paul. Senator Mike Lee, Republican from Utah, is out there. You know, it's about talking. Some of the longest filibusters in American politics are really measured by the big numbers, the hours, not the minutes. Not the minutes. And we're going to talk about some of those throughout this hour here on America Tonight. But I want you to hear some of this, because this is history, baby. I want you to hear some of this live throughout the show. We're going to go to the Senate floor right now.
The condition dealing with imminence, with the idea of presenting an imminent threat of violent attack against the United States, quote, does not require the United States, under this standard, to have clear evidence that a specific attack on U.S. persons and interests will take place in the immediate future, close quote. That's at the top of the first full paragraph on page 7 of the very same white paper that my friend from Illinois was quoting. And so in response to that question, it is important to point out that they've taken the imminence out of imminent. There is no more imminence in this standard. And so if, in fact, we're to believe the white paper is the correct assessment of the administration's position, it is no longer an imminent standard. It is something else. It's something of a new development. It's something that was created out of whole cloth by this administration that has nothing to do with the traditional imminence standard. So I ask my friend, my colleague, Madam President, my friend from Kentucky, whether this is consistent with time-honored notions of due process.
Madam President, this is exactly what I understand, and it's a significant problem. And I would be happy to yield if there's a question from across the aisle or a question that is in the form of an explanation as well on his understanding, if we understand this incorrectly. But this is a real problem, because the idea of imminence people think of is someone leveling a weapon at you. You're in a battlefield. All of these things of which none of us disagree that there should be a response. But the problem is, I mean, it really is, and this is, you know, I'm not an attorney, so it's easy for me to disparage attorneys, even though I'm standing among two that I admire, or more probably. But the whole point is that that sounds like a bunch of government attorneys got together and tried to write some gobbledygook that no one could understand, that makes no sense, that imminence now means something that's not immediate. I'd be happy to entertain a question or... without yielding the floor.
This is getting perilously close to a debate, and I'm sorry for those who are observing if it looks like a Senate is actually in debate. But an obvious question. Was Osama bin Laden an imminent threat to the United States when we took him out? I think he was. Was he hatching a plot to cause harm to the United States in an imminent manner? Probably not.
Madam President, I would say touche.
That was Senator Dick Durbin, by the way, from Illinois.
Good response, and I think well worth thinking about. And difficult in the sense that I don't think there's any of us who really were opposed to getting bin Laden. And there's a question, you're right, of whether or not exactly there was imminence involved with that. And I think, though, that when we start talking about standards, whether we have standards in battlefield, standards overseas, and standards at home, I think the standard at home has to be incredibly high. And I don't believe that we're involved in a battlefield here. I don't believe that you have given up due process here. I don't know that bin Laden had any due process. And I would yield for a question from the senator from Texas.
I thank the senator from Kentucky, and I would point out that the questions of imminence, I don't think, are nearly as difficult as has been suggested. And indeed, I'd like to thank the senior senator from Illinois for braving
this
Senator long
Ted
evening
Cruz,
and for
Republican from Texas. You're listening to a little bit of him on the Senate floor during
equal
this
and
filibuster.
Heartfelt concerns about the limitations on the power of the executive to take the lives of U.S. citizens on U.S. soil. I would point out that at the hearing we had now yesterday with the Attorney General, there was a series of questions exploring in further depth what the position of this administration was. Because in response to the senator from Kentucky's inquiry, Attorney General Holder put in writing that he could imagine circumstances in which it would be permissible to take the lives of U.S. citizens on U.S. soil. And the two examples he gave were Pearl Harbor and 9/11. And as the senator for Kentucky responded, and I think everyone here agrees, those examples are unobjectionable. Both of those instances were instances of grievous military attacks. I think nobody doubts that if kamikaze planes are coming down on our ships in Pearl Harbor, that the United States can use lethal force to take out those planes and to save the lives of our servicemen and women. There's no question about that, legal or otherwise. Likewise, I think nobody doubts that if terrorists have taken over an airliner and are steering it into a building, that as tragic as that decision would be, as heart-wrenching as the decision on 9/11 must have been for the president to give the order to shoot down that fourth commercial airline if it began approaching yet another target where it could inflict thousands of deaths, I think nobody disputes that stopping an imminent, immediate act of violence, and indeed a military act of war, is fully within the authority of the federal government. The question that was posed of the Attorney General was the question that Senator Paul had asked originally, not that question. Rather, it was, if there is an individual, a U.S. citizen, on U.S. soil, who is suspected of being a terrorist, and for whom we can say, arguendo, there is abundant evidence to demonstrate this individual is a terrorist. And if this individual is on U.S. soil and is not currently an imminent threat of violence, if he or she is sitting at a cafe in rural Virginia having a cup of coffee, the question that I pose to the Attorney General is, in those circumstances, would it be constitutional for the United States government to send a drone to kill that U.S. citizen on U.S. soil with no due process of law?
All right, so you can hear Senator Ted Cruz, elected by the Tea Party, much like Senator Rand Paul, taking the ball for a while on the Senate floor. It's into 12 hours, actually, now. And for the first couple hours, as I mentioned, Rand Paul was pretty much on his own. And now you have a lot of people that have gone into the Senate chambers and are jumping on board and asking and saying certainly different things. You know, the longest filibuster was former Senator Strom Thurmond from South Carolina. And I think you all know what this was about. 24 hours and 18 minutes. I looked up the exact time to make sure I was right. Against the Civil Rights Act of 1957, he started speaking at 8:54 on August 28th, and he continued until 9:12 the following evening. He recited the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, President George Washington's farewell address, and a lot of other historical documents. And he certainly isn't the only one to ever do it, and he wasn't the only person to filibuster on that issue. He has the record, like I said. There were other senators who definitely consumed days and days of filibustering on that one. As you know, it was very, very controversial. But March 26th, you know, this was between March 26th and June 19th of that year, 57. It was the day the Civil Rights Act of 1957 actually passed. And there are others who have had some pretty long filibusters in history, too. Right now, Rand Paul, though, into his 12th hour with a lot of other people, starting to jump on board and talk about the drone issue, or as it seems to me and everything I've been watching, things related to drones and Eric Holder. And this is a block. This is a block trying to hold up the nomination of John Brennan for CIA director. We'll have more coming up in just a few moments here on ATN.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there. I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila. Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNlive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
All right, welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. The filibuster of John Brennan's nomination to be the CIA director that's being led by Senator Rand Paul, of Kentucky started at 11:47 a.m. So as it continues into the 12th hour, he's getting a little help, Eastern time, by the way, he's getting a little help from his friends as more senators are chiming in and throwing out all kinds of different things related to drones and related to other things. I already told you that former Senator Strom Thurmond's filibuster of 24 hours, 18 minutes was the longest ever, and that was for the Civil Rights Act, if you remember, back in 1957. So will this eclipse it? It may. It just may do that, and we'll see ultimately what ends up happening here. Should this anti-drone filibuster amount to anything? Will there be any more conversations? Remember, this all started over an answer from Eric Holder, and the particulars of what happens to an American on American soil. The senator who, like I said, was speaking for hours was later joined by Democratic Senator Ron Wyden from Oregon. Other Republican senators also dragging out the filibuster by asking Paul some lengthy and drawn-out questions. And Senator Ted Cruz of Texas is still on the floor, just about to get off the floor, but he's eaten up some time reading a bunch of tweets in favor of Paul. He did that at one point, came and talked about some other things. So he's been back double-dipping a couple of times here. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid briefly interrupted to ask Paul if he planned to allow a vote to end debate. Paul said he wouldn't. Reid concluded that the other senators should probably acknowledge that their work for the day is through and plan to come back on Thursday. So he says he's going to filibuster the Brennan nomination until he can't speak, until he can no longer speak, is what he said. And he did say he would back down if he received a written assurance from Attorney General Eric Holder that the administration wouldn't carry out drone strikes on non-combatant Americans. You know, this kind of filibuster is so rare. I mean, so rare. Typically, senators filibuster by refusing to grant the majority of the 60 votes needed to move on to the final vote of certain bills. That's what we're more familiar with. But Paul said he wanted to really raise the roof on this. He wanted to push the alarm about the drone issue. He spoke after getting letters from Holder on drone authority. And if you just tuned in so you understand the scope of this, in one letter, Holder said the U.S. has never carried out a drone strike against one of its citizens on American soil and called a situation where such a strike may occur entirely hypothetical and very unlikely to occur. But he didn't rule out that that scenario could happen in the future and said that a strike would be legal under the Constitution. And this is where he tripped the switch. I mean, here's the exact quote from Holder. It is possible, I suppose, to imagine an extraordinary circumstance in which it would be necessary and appropriate under the Constitution and applicable laws of the United States for the president to authorize the military to use lethal force within the territory of the United States. Holder said catastrophic attacks such as September 11th attacks or the attack on Pearl Harbor are examples of circumstances where the president could conceivably feel such an action is necessary. Now, how some of this, the wheels started turning, is he testified on the Hill on Wednesday. Holder agreed it would be unconstitutional to use a drone on American soil against a U.S. citizen and suspected terrorist who did not pose an imminent threat. So now it's the language of imminent threat. So how about that? Brennan is a big supporter of the drone program, but after the Senate Intelligence Committee looked at some key documents on the program from the White House, the panel on Tuesday voted 12-3 to approve the nomination. So the Senate leaders were hoping, like Harry Reid, to hold a floor vote on the nomination on Wednesday. So what's happened is Rand Paul has killed those plans, and it's a question of, he says he'll keep doing it, it's a question of how long he can go, how long he can stand out there. He's got some help, as I said, and will he be able to continue to do this? I mean, I give him bravo. I give him credit for having the chops to do it, to be there on the floor for all this time. And it's, and you know, this is the historic role of Congress in defending the Constitution against 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, the executive branch, which the concern is, are they using executive order or possibilities in the future of expanding the power of the White House? So how about this? I think it's a big moment for Rand Paul, you know, without a doubt. And Brennan, who knows, you know, at this point, who decides? So is the president, the judge, jury, and the executioner of people suspected of plotting against the United States? And I think this is the big concern, the constitutional issues. And Senator Paul said, it is right to ask, what are the checks? What are the checks on this power? So bravo. I say bravo to Rand Paul for pulling this off. It would be very easy to not do that and just let this go through. And I think that the Brennan thing, the drone stuff that got so tricky, remember Chuck Hagel looked like that was going to be the tougher one. And Rand Paul said fine to Chuck Hagel. So this is interesting. to see this play out, to see how long it will go. And this is definitely in the wheelhouse of what Paul absolutely abhors, and that is, you know, government overreach. He ran on that. That was one of the big things that got him elected. So it keeps on rolling, keeps on rolling. There are other things, of course, happening in the world and happening in these United States, and we certainly are going to talk about other things here on America Tonight. But we're keeping the clock on and keeping our ears open to the filibuster as well. Some of the other things going on are reaction to Hugo Chavez and now what happens with Venezuela. They're in their second day of mourning. There's a funeral on Friday. You know all this. We've talked about it. To me, the most outrageous thing, and I still stick by this, is the crazy comments from an ex-president, from a couple of celebrities saying what a hero he was, what a great guy Hugo Chavez is. And I'm thinking, what fairy tale are they reading? It must be a different. It must be the state-run fairy tale that he pumped out for so many years. I know this firsthand as knowing somebody who had a very good friend of mine, had a father who lived and worked in Venezuela, oil, and said the guy was just, he was purely a monster, and he was definitely, definitely hoarding up as much money as he could get for himself and for his family. He amassed a $2 billion, you know, fortune when all was said and done. So was he really, was Hugo Chavez really a man of the people? Yeah, I think not. You know, we're talking about the government and talking about the filibuster and the wheels of how the government turns and burns. The House of Representatives actually, while some of this was going on, approved a bill to prevent a government shutdown. They did. March 27th, that's when that would happen. And also blunt the impact of spending cuts on the Defense Department. So what was the vote? It was 267 to 151. They sent it to the Senate. The Dems are hoping to give a cabinet agency some flexibility in implementing the $85 billion in the spending cuts that take effect by the end of the budget on September 30th. So they want to fund, if nothing else, the areas that keep the government going so there isn't a shutdown on the 27th. And that's pretty interesting. If you look at this, the overall size of the cuts are still there. They're still there at this point with half from defense and half from domestic programs, right? But the House piece of legislation gives the Pentagon and the Veterans Affairs Department flexibility to allocate some cuts that no agency has right now. So the flexibility is, I think, what's interesting, and that could probably expand to some other groups, to some other portion of the, like Homeland Security, Justice State, you know, whatever. And then they can figure out where the axe falls down. So the Pentagon isn't even saying whether they're going to be able to order the USS Harry Truman to the Persian Gulf. That was a mission they were going to do, but then because of the cuts, they weren't able to do that. And now there's going to be a dinner meeting. How about that? Talked about, let's just have dinner. Sure, I'll go over and have dinner. And things have kind of changed in Washington, but isn't that what always seems to happen? By the way, Senator Rand Paul, apparently this just in, has ended the 13-hour filibuster. So he'll go down in history, but he won't set a record for a filibuster. But he'll go down in history as trying to do what he can to make it known how he feels about drones and how dangerous it could be to American citizens when left unchecked ultimately. So the anti-drone filibuster over 12 hours goes into 13 hours and then ends. It'll go on a list of memorable ones, I would think, because of the fact that he held court and then others came and bailed him out. And they stuck to the script. They went off script a little bit to talk about some other things, but a lot of it was pretty much focused on the drones. Hang with us. Odds and ends on the flip side.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
I lost 18 pounds in just 4 days. Want to know how? Hi, I'm James Zetta. If you're like me, you've already tried and failed at many diet and weight loss plans. But if you still need and want to lose weight, if you're searching for a simple, safe, healthy approach to lose weight that is extremely easy to follow, listen to this. The 18-4 weight loss plan requires no exercising, no diet pills or additives, no laxatives, no meal replacements, and no diet drinks. The 18-4 program can help you lose 10, 20, 30 pounds or more, and it fits both men and women of all ages. The 18-4 program is crystal clear with a day-to-day, step-by-step, and meal-to-meal guide. And the best part? If you're not satisfied with your results, I will give you my 30-day full money-back guarantee. This program has helped thousands lose 18 pounds in 4 days, and it can do the same for you. Go to 18and4.com. That's the number 18, I-N, the number 4.com. 18and4.com. Easy to download, easy to start losing weight today with 18and4.com.
We travel so much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs. And downstairs.
Fake TV is only $34.95. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Today to begin to filibuster John Brennan's nomination for the CIA. I will speak until I can no longer speak. I will speak as long as it takes until the alarm is sounded from coast to coast that our Constitution is important.
Just before noon on Wednesday, Rand Paul started talking and kept talking and talking and talking, not happy with drones and the situation with the nomination of the CIA Director John Brennan, because there is a question about Americans and drones. Here's the main argument Rand Paul has on the aircraft.
They have now said that the war has no geographic limitations, so it's really not a war in Afghanistan. It's a war in Yemen, Somalia, Mali. It's a war in unlimited places. The problem is as this war has drug on, they take that authorization of use of force to mean pretty much anything.
Yep, pretty much anything. So in the end, this is what Paul said. You could hear it a little bit there at the start of the filibuster. What was the end game for Rand Paul and standing there in the Senate and talking until he practically lost his voice, I guess?
I'm willing to go home if we can get an answer from the president that says people not engaged in combat won't be on any target list. I mean, it's a pretty simple question to ask and a pretty reasonable question to ask. My point in being here really doesn't have so much to do with the CIA director as it has to do with the policy of the administration on drones.
Yep, there you go. So did he get the answer after 13 hours into the 13th hour? I'm going to say he didn't get what he wanted, but he certainly got attention for the really the lack of clarity in the drone program, because you can see, which is what Eric Holder had to say, and I explained, that his refusal to rule out the possibility of drone strikes against citizens on American soil is not necessarily acceptable. Think of the attorney point of view and how easy it would be to usurp that. And therein lies the difficulty and the big problem. Bravo to Rand Paul for doing what he did, 13 hours. And it's right, I think, to bring up the fact that it's very, very unclear. And that's not necessarily what you want with a pro-drone guy. And listen, I like drones in the use of warfare overseas. I've said this. We've had people on and talked about it. But I can see why there would absolutely have to be clarification when you talk about U.S. soil, especially. So Barack Obama's man, counterterrorism advisor John Brennan, probably sails into the seat as the director of the CIA. But what will happen as a result of this? It will shine a light on things that aren't very clear, I think. And so I stand by saying that Rand Paul really did a good thing by jumping up there and doing it the old-fashioned way. It's interesting, too, because when Rand Paul was doing this, as I said, he started before noon, you had 12 Republican senators that went off to dine with the president. So after weeks of blaming the GOP, because squarely it was thrown on their shoulders from the administration, every time Obama was out speaking, he talked about that, talked about it, talked about it, talked about it, and said, you know, there's a way to stop this and all that other kind of stuff. So the president decided to turn things around and decided to do dinner on Wednesday. They talked about fiscal issues, money, and other things, but didn't come to any kind of an agreement, but had, you know, had dinner and had discussion about it. And the Republican senators left apparently feeling pretty optimistic. I mean, I wasn't a fly on the wall, but that's pretty much the word. Senator Bob Corker from Tennessee said that the meeting heavily focused on a way forward on money issues, that we talked about a lot of things, and it was just a constructive conversation about a way of moving ahead and solving the money problems in general. It wasn't a negotiation. They emphasized that. But a lot of things were discussed. So will this be the grand bargain part two? Perhaps. You know, Senator John McCain and Tom Coburn, they were both there. When they walked outside the White House, they gave a big thumbs up outside of the Jefferson Hotel, because that's where they actually had dinner. And they were there for 2 hours. They were there for 2 hours. So everybody who came out said, listen, this was good. This was constructive, and this was, you know, we didn't have any major announcements or any kind of a policy decision, which it shouldn't, to come out of here. But it was a step forward in breaking the tension between the president and the Republicans. So how about that? Maybe some kind of deal is reached. Maybe they tweak what's already out there with this whole sequester. Maybe there is some kind of silver lining. That's the main thing, and it's looking like that's a possibility. And, you know, even Lindsey Graham, the South Carolina senator, was involved in this and said he was encouraged by the president's efforts, and he couldn't be more critical about the White House. He may be the most critical on a lot of issues, but especially anything to do with budget and deficit and that kind of stuff. So he was there. He was part of it. Probably a smart play from the president's playbook to do that and get them all out there and having conversation about it. All right, I did say that we're up against it at the tail end of the show, and I want to throw in a couple of other things. We talked about Hugo Chavez and Venezuelans parading Chavez's coffin and getting ready for a vote in 30 days. Somebody new comes in. They have the 7 days of mourning. That's how they do it in Venezuela, or they're doing that with Chavez anyway. He had been the leader of Venezuela, the dictator, the socialist dictator, if you will, for 14 years. The other thing that people are talking about in the U.S., and this is the grand debate here, should you be able to take knives on the plane? It's so strange that the TSA, after how rough they've been about so many other things, they decide that we can have a penknife now on a plane. And coming out of the woodwork are so many others to say, no, 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 no. Why would you want a pocket knife, you know, on the plane? Why would you allow that? It's confusing. Of all the things that you could possibly be allowed back to take on, why would you free up the ban? So flight crews, TSA agents are concerned about that, but the FAA says, well, this is the idea. If we relax the pocket knife ban, we can focus on other things like keeping an eye out for things like explosives. Only the TSA release, or only the FAA can release a statement like that about the TSA. Listen, our guys and gals are bogged down looking for the pocket knives. They're distracted. They're seeing that, and they're not focusing on other things. So if we lift that ban of that teeny pocket knife, we could be freed up in that short amount of time to look for explosives. Does that seem like nonsense to anybody else? Doesn't that seem like a cockamamie thing? Of course it is. It's ridiculous to say that now we can focus on the other things. What other things? Yes, the guy who has the jar of explosives that he's going to set off. That's what we'll do. We'll be able to do that. Isn't it great? We don't have to worry about looking for the little penknife that is causing us to stop the line and search through it. We won't have to do that anymore. So this is a good thing. Does it make you feel any safer? Think about that and send me your thoughts at AmericaTonight.net. Do you feel safer because you found that out? I mean, the answer is, of course, no, no, and no. It's not. It's crazy. I mean, maybe saying you should have been able to have the pocket knife anyway is one thing, but the part I don't understand is saying that this frees us up to keep an eye on something that could be more deadly. I mean, I don't know, pocket knife, a mason jar of explosives, somebody with explosives in their shoes. It's like Leper says, those evil Swiss knives.
Hey, we got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rules all at the same time?
This constant bickering is going to put me in a coma.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
To have a fighting chance against cold and flu bugs, get the world's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. Fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi with Allicin Plus C. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allicin Plus C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allicin Plus C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allicin Plus C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allicin Plus C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. To order, call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. Or go to AllicinPlus.com, spelled AllicinPlus.com. Get Allicin Plus C from Affinity Health Products.